The topic given for today's class is the preparation for the final moment. Preparation for the final moment. Now, what is the final moment? Then only we can understand what preparation we have to make. There could either be the final moment in our own personal individual life, or there could be the final moment of this world cycle, the cycle of 84 lives coming to its end finally. Both of these could be the final moment. And when you say final moment and preparation for it, it means preparation for the final examination. Because we are students, that will be our final test, our final examination. Baba says he has a TV screen, or sometimes he says, this video is not taking the image of all those who are present here, but the TV which I have, or the video which I have, is filming everyone. So every moment there is a test, as a matter of fact, and a record is being kept. Let's not forget that the final examination is the only examination. Actually, we are always having some papers. We are already in this examination field. Now, this was one point which appealed to me when I first came in touch with this institution. The very first day when I entered into the portals of this institution, the sister who attended me, among other things, she said, we have not to be angry. I thought it is so simple. Every religious institution would say that we should not be angry. It's very common. But then she said further that when we say that there should be no anger in us, it means when there is provocation, there is irritation. Someone talks roughly or rudely to us, impolitely to us, and we are provoked in a way. And it is for such occasions I am asking you that we have not to be angry. I thought this is just an explanation of what she said before. This is nothing new, no addition, but just explanation, elaboration, you can say. Then she further added, perhaps noticing the curiosity I had, she said, we are all students. You have come here to listen to godly knowledge. This is Ishwariya Vishwavidyalaya, university. You will be studying here. And when you study, there are examinations. So you will be examined. I thought there is perhaps an examination system in this institution. That made me think that after passing my university examinations, I will now again have to go through certain examinations. There was a question mark in my mind. But before I asked her, she continued. She said, actually, this whole world is the examination hall. When a student is examined, information is sent to him, notice is sent to him, that he will have to appear in such and such paper, on such and such date, at such and such place. What will be the venue of examination and so on. That is fixed. The date and time is also fixed. But mind you, in this case, no date and time is fixed. So when I say that you have not to be angry, so your anger could be tested any day, any time, anywhere. Because this whole world is the examination ground. That I thought is interesting, you see. It is something new. that I will be now constantly and continuously under tension, that I am being examined, somebody watching me, you see, what I am doing and so on. But this is what she said. And since we are students here, when we talk of the final moment and our preparation for it, let's remind ourselves, our examinations are already continuing. We are in the examination field. Date or no date, every date, as a matter of fact, every moment of our life, good thing or bad thing, good action or bad action, moral action or evil action, whatever we are doing is affecting us, is impinging on our mind. We are changing every second, as a matter of fact. People say that they resist change. I would say that no one can resist change, even if one tries his best. Everyone is changing, has to change. Because there is action and reaction, and when there is action and reaction or interaction, change is a natural thing which must occur. Change is the basic law of nature, which you can't avoid. You may be able to violate other laws, but not this. Everyone has to change. One is whether you change willingly or you change under pressures. That is different. You like to change or you don't like to change, but you have to change. So in this case also, the test is going on, the examination is going on. All the same, we have to prepare for the final moment. And as I said earlier, the final moment means either the final moment in our life. Someone may be ill, suffering from some diseases. The doctor may say one day, he is terminally ill. Now no cure for him. I can't do anything, he may say. Or there may be a sudden accident without my even thinking of what will happen. I am just going to Ahmedabad and something happens on the road. I never thought of it. I thought I would be coming back. I tell Dadiji I will be coming back tomorrow and I have to talk to you. But whether that tomorrow will come or not, human beings generally do not know. Some can know. They do know. But most of us do not know. So what I am saying is that the final moment in our life also may be determined by so many factors. It may happen by accident. It may happen because of any reasons. There may be a natural calamity, a catastrophe. Some event may take place which ends our life, brings an end to our life. That would be the final moment. And before that, every moment before it, suppose someone is in the bed, the doctor advises the person to be having bed rest, to talk less, not to move, to take a particular kind of diet and so on and so forth. Instructions have been given. Now, final moment may come any time, for any reason, you see. You must be aware. So, one could be the preparation for this kind of thing. Because they say death keeps no calendar. In the calendar, you can't mark the date of your death. Nobody knows. That on Basant Panchmi day, at such and such time, I will pass away. I will give up this mortal coil. Nobody knows what will happen. You see. It happens. You see. So when it happens, and we do not know whether it will happen or not, when it will happen. See, there is a story in Mahabharata, some kind of anecdote. They call it history, a historical event. But whatever you may say, some call it mythology, others call it by other names. There was a yaksha, and he put questions to Yudhishthira, one of the Pandavas, the eldermost among those five Pandavas. One of the questions was, what is the greatest wonder of the world? What is the greatest wonder of the world? And the reply from Yudhishthira was that everyone knows that he or she has to die one day. Anyone born in this world will die one day. But the greatest wonder is that man forgets. and moves on in life as if he has not to die. He is after collecting money, trying to capture power, trying to do this, that or the other thing. He is busy with worldly pursuits, just thinking that he has perhaps not to die. So this to me, he said, Yaksha, is the greatest wonder. They say as sure as death. Death must occur. No one can deny. This is sure. So they say as sure as death. So if this is the most sure thing in this world and it has to happen, why do people forget about it? Why our brains shadowed with oblivion so that forgetfulness overtakes us and we become unmindful and indulge into actions into which we would have never done if we were aware that we are going to die. They say there was a worshipper. He went to his guru. He said, Guruji, respected guru, I have a problem. Would you please solve it for me? He said, what is that? He said, I am the most wicked fellow in this world, the vilest sinner that can ever be. Forget about it that I can be a good man. There cannot be any other person as bad as I am. I am the worst fellow. I tried my best and I have failed. So I tell you honestly and sincerely, you are making efforts on me, asking me to make all these efforts, which are all going waste. I tell you, I cannot be changed. So this is just to bring to your information. If you can change me, it is you who are to change me. I on my own, or just by taking your advice, I can't change. I am a weak soul, under the effect of Maya, and I cannot escape from it. I am very much cogged up into it, into that quagmire. I can't get out of it. So, what would you say? He said, forget about it. Now you need not think about becoming a good man. He was very happy. Now my guru says, you need not think of becoming a good man. Now I can do whatever I like, you see. So he said, what can I do? He said, anything you like, I told you. Go eat, drink and be merry, you see. Enjoy your life to the extent you want. And he was surprised that perhaps there is some trick which he is playing with me. He perhaps is not being very clear, a clever person, and trying to judge me perhaps, test me. He could not follow, understand it. But he said, I tell you one thing. When you go from here, listen to me attentively. You know why I asked you to do whatever you like? I gave you this utmost freedom. It is because now you are to live only for a week. This is the last week of your life. So better go and enjoy. Do whatever you like. So that later on you don't repent that even 1 week you did not enjoy. So that man went with a sorrowful mind. Oh, I am going to die, you see. Previously he thought now he got the freedom. Now he got the burden instead. He was in a very sorrowful mood. And daily he was counting. He was not even taking his food properly. No drinks, no meat, you see. No drugs, nothing. I have to die. What is the use of all these things? Only 6 days left. Tomorrow again he will say 5 days left. 4 days left. He was counting his time and thinking that only this much time is left. God can save me. Let me see what happens. And ultimately the 7th day came. You see. And when the 7th day came, nothing happened. He didn't die. You see, he didn't die. And he said, now I will go to Guru and shout at him. He told me lies, you know. He made a fool of me. And he made my life a wretched one. I was not even eating properly, not sleeping properly. I would wake up many times during the night. You see, sleepless nights I had to pass. And rolling into the bed rolling on me, I into the bed, you see. So this man has been playing with my life. I'll tell him honestly into his face, Guruji, what do you do? You said I will die after 1 week. It is the 8th day. I am very much alive in your presence. So he went and said, Guruji said, but tell me one thing. During this 1 week, did you commit a sin? Did you do that wickedness which you used earlier to do? You wanted to be free from it, isn't it? That was from where I started. So I had to play this trick with you see, to make you free. And now you understand how you can be free. If you remember that you have to die, you see. And death may come any moment, not even after a week's time, any day. Then would you commit all those nonsense things which you have been doing before? He said, now I understand. It's full of wisdom what you did. It was for my betterment, you see. So that was the greatest wonder that man forgets about it. Now, if I think there is a final moment, there is a final moment. I have to prepare for it. I think it is a wrong approach, a wrong attitude. I do not know which will be the final moment. Because they say you do not know whether you will be having the next breath or no, you see. Anything may happen. You know, one of the air marshals of our Indian Army, Indian Air Force, he went to Japan, one Mr. Mukherjee, and he was put up in a hotel. He was taking his lunch, and in the lunch he was taking fish. The forks of the fish got stuck into his neck. He couldn't breathe, collapsed. At the dining table, in the chair, he was relishing the food. The best food was served to him. And he died immediately, within a few seconds, you can say. So, he had perhaps different plans. He had gone to that country because he was sent as India's representative for certain official work. But he couldn't fulfill that. Before completing it, came the end of his life. What was the final moment? Did he know that my final moment will come in the hotel when I will be taking my lunch? I will be eating my most favorite fruit, a food, that fish, that thing will kill me. You see, he never imagined. So if I say a final moment will come and I have to prepare for it, I think in the very first place I am committing a blunder. Therefore, Baba says, be ever ready, ever ready. If there were a final moment and we were to prepare for it, and if we knew that the final moment will come, say, after 2 years or 3 years or 1 year or so many days or weeks, then why would he say, be ever ready? Else what does ever ready mean? Any moment. There may come the final call. 1, 2, 3. You see, sometimes there are warnings. Your eyesight is gone. Your power of hearing is gone. Your teeth are not working properly. The stomach has refused to work. And your legs have become thin. You are losing energy. You have now infirmity. The old age is coming on you. So many things happening. One after the other warning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so on. And the final call may come anytime. And even to the healthiest, to the youngest, the most robust, the strengthiest, those persons who are full of energy and are kicking and doing things in life with zest and zeal, the death may come any moment. You see. Sceptre and crown must tumble down and in the dust be equal made with the poor scythe and spade. This is what happens, you see. A moment has to come when all these things, any of these things can happen any day. So, a final moment has to come and we have to prepare for it. Tell me, my dear, when is that final moment? Any one of you? You know your final moment? Any one of you? Do you know your final moment? So, any moment, maybe final moment. So be prepared for it, ready for it. What we have to do is what Baba has been telling us. But if you can't do that, because there are certain conditions, even in law, class A, class B, class C, class D, you see, a person is punished, give him 6 months rigorous imprisonment, and £300 fine, punishment. If he can't give that £300, then 15 days more of punishment, of imprisonment, you see. If he can't do that, he is an old man, do this, do that, and so on. So there are alternatives. If I say, Baba, beloved Baba, dear Baba, you are expecting perhaps too much from me. You know I am a weak one. Life after life I have been body conscious. I have been very much deeper into all these evils. And all of a sudden, you, when you come at the end of the drama, not giving me enough time and enough previous notice, you ask me to get ever ready. Baba, you tell me. You are the wisest one. How can I do this? You see. How can I do this? For example, Baba says, have 8 hours of meditation. Baba, I can't have 8 hours of meditation. Okay, my dear child, at least have 4 hours. You see. So he tells you. If you can't have for 4 hours, he tells you what you should do. Get up at Amrit Vela, you see, observe traffic controls. Remember before you take your lunch and breakfast and dinner. Remember Baba, this, that and every other thing. Every hour, you just spend a minute or two. So this will make near about 4 hours. All right, you do this. If you do can't do that, then do this. So this is what he tells us. Now if I can't be ever ready and can't prepare for my every moment, because I don't know the final moment, then the final moment of your life, whenever it comes, wherever it comes, however it comes, you see, whether through disease or through accident or by some catastrophe, by any other way, it would come, that is sure. So you have to prepare for it. And the second is that the world destruction will take place. Baba has given us a world clock, 2000 years AD, plus minus something. It's a round figure given to us, 000, you see. So he has set a date for us, a year for us. Still he says, I won't tell you the exact date and the time when the destruction will start. It will start in some stages. Today it will start, then it may be no destruction for some days. Then again, all of a sudden, there may be spurt in destruction. Then again, it may halt, and people will think, oh, no, no, there is no destruction. Then again, it may be at a bigger scale. It would happen like that. So he says, I can't give you the date, because it is not date. The destruction will not take place on a date. It will take place on dates, plural. You see. At some places it will be through communal riots, ethnic trouble, racial trouble, religious fanaticism, extremism, violence, riots, this kind of thing. At other place there may be, you see, submerging of the cities on the coastal area because of the global warming, the ice melting on the mountain caps and so on. Maybe due to different reasons. How can it be on the same day? All these factors, you see. And nuclear weapons, all have not been synchronized to, somebody is not commanding them just at that point of time, like the NASA. You see, when they send something up, 0, 1, 2, 3, or they say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes, it goes. Not like that. It will start and then halt and then start and then halt. And it will take place in different ways, in different form. So it will not be all happening on a single day, at a single point of time. So why you ask for a date, you see. but there is no vagueness about it, no uncertainty about it. It is very, very sure. God Himself, who is the knowledgeful one, who knows the past, the present and the future, He tells you it will happen. In our own lifetime, if I tell you my own experiences, how Baba has been telling things, which have been happening, I know from my personal experience, when I know that all those things have been happening, why will not this thing happen? You see, it must happen, because He is truth personified. He never says what is falsehood. Though human beings in the courts, when they go, they say on oath, you see, like Clinton did, or that, you see, Monica Lewinsky did, you see, on oath, they said certain things. I swear, you see, whatever I will speak the truth, and nothing but truth, nothing but falsehood, because ultimately they had to say, they had to twist their tongues. Only. This word does not mean that, that word does not mean that. Now the word sex is being interpreted in many ways. He says, I don't call it sex, you see. Just changing things. Whatever it may be, what I want to say is, God is the truth personified. He is the knowledge absolute. Everything is so clear to Him, you see. So what He is saying, it's for you to believe or not to believe, it's up to you. If you want to deceive yourself, you may. But He is telling you in the, clearest of terms, again and again, affirming the statement, affirming the truth. My dear children, this is going to happen. And you must get ready for it. You see. So that is another kind of preparation for which we have to be ready, supposing we live till that time, because it's just near. Though Baba has been saying, why you mind about 1999, what will happen, what did Nostradamus say and other people say. Don't you listen what Baba says, you see. You are talking of Nostradamus, this Damus, that Damus and the other famous. What did Baba say? You just mind about that. So Baba is telling you in the certain terms, what is clear. You have to prepare for that. And now, I will give you just what kind of preparation has to be made for both simultaneously, because one leads to the other. We have to make preparations not separately. These are not disjointed things. They have interlinks, and we have therefore to go on making efforts together. Now, what, for example, we have to do for our personal, final moments. Whatever it means, you see. Number one, you must be completely surrendered. Completely surrender yourself. Baba, I don't know. I didn't know even the difference between the soul and the body. If at all I had read about it, heard about it, I didn't clearly know what the soul is, my real identity is. I never knew where from I came, what is the goal of my life, how many lives I take, and so on. So you have told me all those things. So knowing that I was the most ignorant fellow in this world, knowing nothing, you see. Though everyone is proud that one knows so much, actually one doesn't know even an iota of truth, a little bit of it, you see. So, God being knowledgeful, I now surrender myself to Him. I say, whatever I am, whatever is my mental stage, my spiritual stage, my moral stage, Baba, take care of me. You have to set me right. You have to put me on the right path. And what I will do is, I will obey you. This promise I do make, this is my covenant with you. But on your own, you have to help me. And you have promised that you are going to take charge of me. Aham tva sarva papebhya rakshami ma shucha. He says, I take the responsibility. Your full responsibility I take. You surrender yourself to me. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraj. You come and surrender yourself to me. Then I take your total responsibility. There could be nothing cheaper than this, you see. He gives me all this for 21 generations, for 2500 years. And what he asks me for is to surrender. Because if you don't surrender, how can he do? How can he act on you? If you don't give your dress to the washerman, to the laundry, then how can he put it in the machine, washing machine, and then give you some clean clothes? You keep it at your house and you ask him to wash them. How can he do? So you have to give yourself to him totally, completely, you see, physically, mentally, spiritually. Some people think that then we will have no freedom. Actually, then we will have the real freedom. The only thing is we don't know what freedom is, you see. This freedom from evil, freedom from sorrow, freedom from unhappiness, freedom from peacelessness, freedom from what is negative in us. This is the real freedom. What kind of freedom, you see, we want other than this? That is license. That is not freedom. License to commit adultery, robbery, and all the nefarious acts. That is not freedom, you see. In the name of freedom, so many bad things are being done. The word freedom has also got defamed. This is the real freedom, so that my mind is not under the pressure of the evil. It thinks on its own, free from there. Its claws. So, I have first of all to surrender myself to him. Now, I think this is difficult, but this is not difficult. This is easy, the most easy thing, and you have not to remember every time. This is something which no one could say that one can't do, old or young, and physically ill or healthy, or due to any circumstances, no one can make any excuse that one can't surrender. Only that person can make excuse who thinks that he will lose all the freedom, which is a wrong understanding of the word freedom, as I said. Baba says, children, you eat whatever you like. You want a good building to stay in, have a good building. You want a car of your own, I allow you, you have your car. He allows us everything, you see. It's not that he wants us to walk on foot from Abu Road to Mount Abu. He says, I don't give you bus because you are a surrendered person, so you walk on foot, you see. And somebody rides on your shoulder like a slave. In Germany, in Frankfurt, there is a museum where there are exhibits on slavery, you see, how slaves were treated during the medieval period, how they were treated, what human beings did to human beings. We are surprised, not even to animals, but to human beings, how they behaved. Slaves, they made of them, tortured them, tormented them, exploited them, treated them so cruelly, you see. It's shame, it's a blot on humanity, what man has been doing to man. Slaves were the people who lost the freedom. Baba is not asking us to give up all that freedom. Children, you have not to eat, not to take food properly, not to live in a good, comfortable place, and so on. He is allowing us everything to do. We are better than most of the people are in the world, you see. There is no comparison as a matter of fact. We are not starving. So freedom is there. So there is no other excuse left. So the first thing is we must surrender. Completely surrender. At this world completely. Surrender means complete surrender. Otherwise it is not surrender. You see. Then Baba says in other examinations, in other tests, the examiner does not tell you what are the questions in the coming paper. You see. When the question paper comes before you, then only you know that these are the questions asked about history or arithmetic or mathematics or geography or whatever subject you are studying. You know the questions from the question paper at the moment when you are sitting in the examination hall. But here Baba says, I tell you beforehand what will be the questions, the final questions in your paper. Okay? I tell you even before, much beforehand, what will be the questions. He says, in your paper, you will have two questions. Other questions would be there, But these two questions I tell you. And if you can solve these questions, you would be able to solve other questions also. You see. He gives us a hint. Because he is not only our teacher just to test us, he is also our guide. He also helps us. So, doing both the duties together, he is teaching us and testing us, and at the same time, guiding us and helping us. So he says those two questions will come, and these questions have started from the very day you came to this institution. From the beginning to the end, these questions will be there every day in your life. You will be tested continuously. What are those two questions? One is whether you are body conscious or soul conscious. You see. First question. This is the first lesson we are given in our course. And this is the ending test also. The final test will depend upon this. Whatever happens, the destruction is taking place. There are big blasts of bombs. People crying because there is bloodshed. And so on and so forth. Things are not available. Whatever, we come to that. You see. And in the face of all those problems and difficulties, what do I remember? Do I become body conscious or I am soul conscious? This question. Now there is time. Get ready. Final hour, maybe any hour, any moment. From now onwards, you can be ready for this. Baba has been asking you every day, almost, trying to make you ready for it. Soul conscious. And the other is remember me. Remember me alone. You see. Don't be conscious of the bodies of others, other embodied persons, their physical bodies. If you forget your own body and remember the other people who are embodied, then again you are being body conscious. The only difference being that you are not conscious of your own body, but conscious of other people's body. What are Krishna conscious people doing? They are remembering the body of Krishna, you see. When they remember Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, you see, I ask them, what do you mean? Whom you remember? They said, Krishna. I said, but Krishna has got that flute, that crown, he is wearing a dhoti, you see, all this and everything. So you just remember it. Yes, because he is Lord Krishna, he is Almighty. I said, but this is material. He has got big tuft of hair on his head and so on. All these are material things. Are you a spiritualist or materialist? Are you again becoming body conscious? Spiritual is a person who remembers the spirit. You as a soul and others as a soul. If you just forget your own body and begin to worship, and in that act of worship you remember the body of others, maybe Rama, Krishna, Shakti or Devi, Shankara or whosoever, you see. Then again you are being body conscious in another way. Krishna may have a very beautiful body, pure body, because he is taking only fruit. I am taking dals and sabzi, you know. There is a lot of difference. From his childhood he is in a good environment, I am not. I am taking crops, things which have been grown with fertilizers. He is taking natural food, you see. So many things he had, so his body may be wonderful. But body is body. What is there in the body? You see, you remember him or you remember the body? The nose, the ears, the chin, the cheeks, the hip, forehead and all that. You are remembering him. You know, when they worship Krishna or Rama, they mention what is in his hands, what he is bearing on his head, what kind of necklace he has. They are mentioning all this. Otherwise, how can they worship for half an hour? Their mind will go from Mount Abu to Delhi, you see. If they begin to worship Krishna, their mind will not be stabilized at Krishna. It will go to London, you see, to any place, because it is wandering. It is a vagabond mind, you see. It does not stop at anything at all. Like a bird in a sea, moving from place to place, finding no place to rest, because there is water everywhere. Goes on flying, 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 tirelessly, because there is no place. So they don't know where to rest their mind. Therefore their mind is restless and moving from place to place. So in that act of worship, don't understand simply worship. Worship consists of all these things. Your eyes are like lotus. My dear Lord Krishna, how beautiful you are. They would say, you see. What about your face? A smile you wear always on your face. So, mentioning all these things, you see. Being body conscious all the time, it is not spiritual consciousness, it is not soul consciousness. You are not remembering God at all. You are remembering the particles of matter, you see. Have you read organic chemistry or chemistry? What is this body made of? You are remembering all those particles, you see. This is it. So, just these two questions. God, remember God only. Me, not even the body, you see. No human body. Only the soul and the supreme soul. No intruder in between, you see. That is the condition. This test will come. Again and again, again and again, when you practice, my dear Baba, my beloved Baba, you love me so much. You are so graceful to me. You have given so many blessings on me. You are giving me inheritance. You are making me pure. Baba, what wonderful knowledge you are giving. We talk of these things. Not how beautiful nose he has and what he wears on his head, you see. Or he has a tilak, you see, a sacred mark on his forehead and so on. Not all these things. So, surrender yourself to me. This is the first thing. The second is, be soul conscious. Remember me and me alone. No embodied person. Because the final test will be of attachment. Nashto moha. Again and again Baba says, nashto moha. Though there are other vices also, other evils also, sex, lust, anger, greed and so on. But he talks again and again of attachment. Because all these other evils also are born of attachment. If there were time enough, I could tell you how sex lust is born of attachment. Anger is born of attachment. Other evils also are born of attachment. Therefore, if you resolve the whole situation, you come to the conclusion attachment is the most critical enemy of a spiritual person who wants to make some good progress in life. So, the final test would be whether you are nashto boha. Do you remember any physical relative, your friend, somebody whom you have been loving, some physically near person to you, or so on? Any kind of attachment, or to things which you relish, would you like to eat, would you like to drink, would you like to see? Attachment may not necessarily be with persons. It may also be with commodities, with certain things, with eatables, with some kind of drink, some kind of flavors, some kind of odors, so on. So, any kind of attachment, absolutely no attachment. Nashto moha. Nashto. Nasht means completely destroyed, roots and branch, you see. Not even the ashes of it are left, of attachment. It should totally disappear from our life. That will be the final test. Today, tomorrow, this moment, at the time of destruction, at the end of our life. So when we get ready for it, at the same time we are getting ready for the final destruction, final moment from the point of view of destruction also. Then another thing is, because if you don't give up attachment, finally you will feel a great difficulty in giving up your body. A person who has no attachment even with his own body. You see, some people have no attachment with others, no attachment with certain things, but they have attachment with themselves. Self-love. They have self-love, you see. Self-centered life they have. So if there is that kind of attachment or that kind of thing, even then you will find it difficult to give up your body in the final moment. You can otherwise easily give it up, if there is no attachment, even with yourself. Some people have no attachment with their body also, no attachment with others also, but they have attachment to their ideas, Oh, beautiful idea. It can do wonders. People don't understand. They don't realize. It's very lovely, very precious idea, but they are foolish, they don't understand. You see. So someone having an attachment with his own idea. Idea is like a child, brain child, because the brain has given birth to the idea. So there is attachment. As the mother has attachment with the child, so a person has attachment with his own idea. Says Baba loves us because he is our creator, and we love him because he is our creator. So people love the ideas, and that love gets into the form of attachment. No. Give up all this kind of attachment. Everything is surrendered to Baba. If Baba has given this touching, I offer myself, these ideas to Baba. As a worshipper offers his flowers, fruits to his beloved deity, so do I offer even my ideas to God. He may accept it if he so wills. If he doesn't, it is up to him, you see. I become nimit, just an instrument, that's all. So, this should be kept in mind. Then, simple life, simplicity. Try to reduce your needs, you see. This thing is necessary, that thing is necessary, that thing is necessary. Don't make a very big list of it. Be as simple as possible. I don't mean to say that you should not have proper things in your life, but what is meant when Baba says that we should have simplicity, you see. Because this attraction for worldly things, because it is attraction, Baba says, which does not allow us to become angels. Angels are above attraction. The gravitation force does not work on them. Newton was not aware of it. When he talked of gravitation, someone should have asked him, Newton, Mr. Newton, you just tell me, what happens to angles? Does your gravitation work on them? You see, it is angel land, they say. So, but it was an angel land if so, if the name was derived from that word. Someone should have pointed out, Mr. Newton, what about your gravitation? There your law of physics does not work. So we should not feel attraction toward anything. Then we should have a simple life. You see. Even in our simple life, the things which we have, we should not be attached to them. You see. Few needs we should have. Then another is, try to have blessings of all. Try to have blessings of all. Make everyone feel happy with you. Don't curse anybody. Don't think ill of anybody. Don't antagonize anybody. Try your best to make everyone happy with you, so that they bless you. You see, that is really very great. That is a great achievement in life, to get the blessings of all. All the same, there may be certain persons even then who don't bless you, they curse you. They have that nature, let them. But on your own, you must make full efforts, all efforts, to make them happy, to do service to them, to cooperate with them, to love them, to like them, to be with them, to give them a good feeling, you see, that you like them, that you belong to them, they belong to you, that you are a family. Try to give this feeling so that they may bless you. Ashirvad, as we say. Try to have Ashirvad of all, blessings of all. Dwayen, dwayen lena, as Dadi say, dwayen, blessings of all. So, another one is, Baba has been talking about it very often in the Murli. Shubh bhavna, shubh kamna. Shubh bhavna, shubh kamna. Good wishes for all. Don't think ill of anyone. Anyone may not be nice to you, may ill-treat you, misbehave with you, be rude with you. Whatever he may be, it is up to him. His actions are with him. But you should have God bless him. God give him peace. God give him wisdom. He is my brother. Ignorant fellow. He does not know. So don't think, oh, it is better that man dies. He is, after all, why I don't know. He is chasing me everywhere. He is a nuisance. He is a problem for me. I want to get rid of him. You see, don't curse him because you are a Brahmin. And if Brahmins and yogis curse somebody, it may actually happen. You see, it may actually happen. If you say, let this man die, it is better this man dies. And if that man dies, you will be the person who will weep more bitterly. Because you will think that I did not mean that. God has listened to my prayer. He has accepted it. This man died. Now I will be punished. See? Because I am responsible. Why you curse? He is not taking something out of your pocket. Everyone has for himself something in this world. You see. So why you bother about it? There is so much in this world. You have your own way. Let him have his own way. Say goodbye to him. So, Om Shanti. Salaam Alaikum. Shalom. Good morning, good evening. And good day. Every day good. You see. So always think good of every person. So our attention should be not to spoil relations. Don't try to spoil relations. Therefore you have to talk less. You see, Baba says, speak less. Speak sweetly. And not only speak, sometimes keep silent. Shut up. They say, shut up. You must tell yourself, don't ask others to shut up. If you ask them to shut up, then again there will be quarrel. Silence, you see. So don't spoil relations. That is very important. Then, daily you should try to check your progress. Your progress report. Be your own judge. Your own doctor. Your own teacher. For some time. See whether you are really making good progress. There is something which is still in you, which you are not able to get rid of. Some bad thing. You just think over it. So, progress. Progress. Badhe chalo. Badhe chalo. Aandhi aur tufano mein. That is what they say. You see. Khada Himalaya kaya raha hai. There is a song in Hindi. The Himalayas call you. They say, oh youth, oh human beings, you see, you march ahead, go ahead, never stop, make progress, be dynamic. The progress is the living, actually the life. So make some progress. That is possible only when you check. Baba says, keep a chart of you. Or just before sleeping, you just recapitulate and think. Have a review of your whole day's routine or activities. Whether you have done something which you should not have, so that you prepare for the next day, make yourself ready. Today, I have somehow or the other, due to my past sanskaras, done it, but I will not do it anymore, and so on. So, make progress. Otherwise, the final moment, whenever it comes, if you are not making progress daily, one step forward daily, you see, like Mao Zedong, that China's great man, he said, one step forward, you see. If not more, at least one step forward in yoga, in knowledge, in service, in divine qualities, one step forward. When you move step by step forward, you will reach your goal, your destination. If you just stop, how can you reach your destination? Then another is, obey Baba, you see. If you are obedient to Baba, whatever shortcomings you have, failures you have, weaknesses you have, Baba will help you. He says, I will give you grace marks. On his own, he will bless you with certain additional marks. Because you have been obedient. What else you could do? You have been trying your best to obey Baba. Never saying no. When Baba said, within 15 days, will you show me some result? Some raised the hand, others did not raise the hand. When Baba is saying, 15 days is not enough, we should say, yes Baba. We should obey. And we should try to begin practice from the very moment. So those who are obedient and faithful, they are specially blessed. Like Christ's Sermon on the Mount in the New Testament, blessed are the poor, blessed are this, blessed are that, what are that, you see. He has mentioned about who are the blessed ones. Similarly, Baba says those who are obedient and those who are faithful, they are specially blessed. Farma bardar bacche. We are all children of God, but each one has different qualities. You see. So one of the attributes which is given to some children is farma bardar bacche, agyakari bacche. That is obedient children, loyal children. So let us be in that list of obedient children. That is in the good books of God. Then Baba says, become zero. Become zero. Then only you become hero. You have to become from beggar to prince. You see. Nothing belongs to you. Nothing you have. You see. Everything belongs to Baba. It's a little bit different from surrender. Having a sense of self-surrender is one thing. But just every moment thing, nothing belongs to me. I can't lay a claim on this. You can't change me from this center. You can't shift me into another room and give this room to somebody else. This, that and the other things. Claiming so many as our rights, like human rights the United Nations is asking for. We perhaps have our own human rights. You see, our godly rights, Brahman rights you can say. You can make a list of Brahman rights, like they have human rights. So, don't try to assert those things. No, no. I don't want anything. Absolutely no. You see. Do you require anything? Absolutely no. Baba has given me more than enough. Baba is with me. I am fulfilled. Nothing is required. That should be our feeling. You see. Everything is Baba's. I want to give it to him. You can give it to him. You see. Don't think already if you give it to him, then what are you going to give to me? You see. Then another is try to adjust. There are special murlis of Baba on this. Adjustment. Though it is one quality, adjustment, but it is full of so many other qualities. Underneath are so many other qualities. Then only we can have adjustment. Tolerance, for example, patience, you see, broad-mindedness, cooperation, so on and so forth. Unless and until all these qualities are there, there can be no adjustment, you see. So, adjust with others. If you just adjust, Baba becomes very happy. This child can adjust with anyone. And then don't note others' weaknesses, others' negative traits. Don't follow others, human beings. Follow Baba. Follow Father. Why you then take notice of what others have as shortcomings in them? So this you must remember. So this is, these are some of the things which we have to have in mind in order to prepare for the final moment. When you daily just pay attention to these, make efforts to inculcate these in your life, then you are making your progress for your final moment. Then another kind of final moment, destruction, world destruction. Some of us would live longer. Destruction will take place in our lifetime. We will be seeing the destruction. So Baba has been telling what a horrible moment it will be. He has been expressing it in so many words. And it was this which brought tears to his eyes. When he had one of those divine visions, he saw destruction. So much destruction. He began to tremble. He could not stand it. He said, "Oh God, oh Shiv Baba, oh Ishwar, Parmeshwar, whatever, please show me your sweet form. I am afraid of this. What is happening?" Such was the time. So, you can just imagine how horrible a time it would be. You see. So, preparation for that kind of thing. Now, number one, there will be communal riots. Hindus and Muslims, Hindus and Christians, Hindus and Sikhs, Muslims and Christians, Muslims and other communities. You see. This religious fanaticism will come to the fore. You find already signs of it all over the world. You see. that Bin Laden and what is happening in Iraq, it may flare someday. They may think that Christians are torturing Muslims. Nobody is preventing USA all the time bombarding us, even without the permission of the United Nations, you see, so on and so forth. The situation will take turn when religions will confront each other. They will say there is some kind of a conspiracy. They are trying to subjugate us. Already they are talking of Muslim bomb, Islamic bomb. They say all the bombs are with the Christians. Our Muslim country, they have no bomb. That is why it is happening in Iraq. If we had some atomic weapons, we would tell America, go out from here. If you now attack, we'll pay back. We don't have. So they are already feeling to help others, Iran, Pakistan, and other people to have this. So religious fanaticism, again, into the religious frenzy and communal riots, religious wars. They will call it holy wars perhaps, but this may be there. Class conflict, rich people and the poor people. The rich have been exploiting the poor people for too long, not giving them their due, just trying to wrench money out of them, give them all the difficulties and having all the luxuries of life with themselves. So when the destruction takes place, when there are lesser things, when there is dislocation in the means of production, then the rich will rob the poor will rob the rich. That will happen. So there will be a class conflict. Because even if there are communal riots or religious wars, people not going to their workplace because they are afraid of being killed on their way. And what will happen? Somebody is working in the waterworks, he does not go. Another man is working in the powerhouse, he is connected with the production of power and electricity, he does not go. Another man is a driver, he is an engine driver, he drives the train, he is not going to the railway station. All the movement stops gradually. And when this transport and movements and communication system stops, you can just see, this world is so dependent upon these. What will be the fate of this world? The milk supply is not coming. The water is not coming. The vegetables is not coming to the market, you see. Things are not available. So many things are happening. Because people are not going to their workplace, they are afraid. Even the military is divided between different religions. Even, you see, the neighbors, they say, we are Muslims, we are Hindus, we are Christians, just trying to kill each other. Don't you remember how one religion has been persecuting the others? What Muslims did to the Christians? What Jews did to the Christians? What Christians did to other religions? You see? What Christians did to the scientists? What Hindus did to Muslims, what Muslims did to Hindus. They just talk of mercy and pity and of, doing good to others, but in practical terms, what they have been doing. What man has been doing to man in the name of Allah or in the name of God, you see. Taking swords in their hand, bows and arrows in their hand, guns in their hand, one group saying, Allahu Akbar. Another saying, Har Har Mahadev. And both trying to kill each other. Just taking the name of God and killing each other. So when these things happen, all these things won't be available. And when they are not available, what will happen? When this dislocation takes place, so there will be class conflict. Suppose you have some grains stored at your place. You have some milk left with you. The neighbor has small babies, children. She has no milk. She says, can you give me some milk? We say, no, I require it for my old children. But you require for your old children, just share it with us. Give a little to us, our baby is crying, dying, very hungry. Can't you give a little bit of it? No, I can't give you. What will happen? You see. So, between the haves and have-nots, all these kinds of struggles will start. There will be, Baba says, bloodbath. Bloodshed. Khoon e nahak, as Baba has been saying. Those who are not concerned with politics nor with religion, they have no fanaticism. They are the people who want peace. They want to live and let live others. Even they will be involved. What can they do when this is happening? You see. And when there is such a bloodbath, you see this man is being butchered, that man is being shot at, this man is being badly kicked and tortured. You just see from your window, from your building, and you say this man is crying, Bachao, Bachao, save me, oh I am killed, I am dying, anybody please come to my rescue. When you hear such voices, how you feel? Your attention will go to these events. You forget Baba, you forget soul consciousness, and you are afraid perhaps they may come to us, it may happen with us. So, the main test now will be, number one, as I was telling you have attachment, but in this case, the test, the question paper will have these questions, one of fear, insecurity, at that time. The other of anxiety, what will happen tomorrow? We have some food left for today, but what about a day after tomorrow? You see. So, fear, insecurity and anxiety, these will be the major questions in the final test, you see. And there will be wailing and crying and people dying and commotion, all these things happening. And to stabilize your mind and consciousness of soul and of God, to be like yogis, to be in a state of bliss, in that ekrasavastha, constant state of yoga, is possible only when you do it daily. And Baba says this is very important. Antamate sagate. Ante yamati sagati. In the end, your next life will be what your consciousness or your stage of consciousness is at the time of death. Baba has been saying it again and again. Now here is the time of destruction and death. What consciousness you have? Do you die listening all the time to commotion outside, to riots outside, to killings outside, people crying for help, and seeing that there are no things available? You have this kind of consciousness, or you think, oh, we have done our best. We are in Baba's lap. Baba, help us. We have to give up our body one day. Baba will be graceful to us. Your mind is stable. That will be the final test. We have to prepare for that. And then Baba says, at that time, the evils, sex, lust, anger, greed, attachment, all these six, they will come up in a big force. This will again be the last thing happening. See, in your own mind and in the minds of others. Sex-hungry people running after ladies, thinking there is no law and order, no police, no government. Those people who, as we found in today's drishti, in this today's murli, how our drishti, our vyan, you see, deceives us. Again, they will be sex-hungry. Those who have anger, they will be angry. Those who are greedy, greed will be there in a larger measure, with a great intensity. So all these evil forces will now be at their climax. That is the final. After that they will end for 2500 years. But at that point of time, they will come up. So people are afraid. Somebody may, you see, affect our modesty. You see, rapes are taking place. People are chasing ruffians, rowdy people, bad characters. What kind of people they are. So to save ourselves from that, Baba says, if you are soul conscious, if you are God conscious, when they come to you, when they see you, you appear to them as light. as Devi, as Devta, Goddess or God, like angels. So they are changed at that time. They can't attack you because you have attained your that stage of yoga which affects them, changes them, so that they get changed. That is the only thing which can help you at that moment. There is no police, no neighbor can come to your help, nothing else is there to save you. Everyone is cautious about, I mean more careful about one's own self. So your own stage of meditation will help you. Not only that, when floods come, earthquakes come, great ravages by nature happen, and the lions, the wolves, the other animals, jungle, forest animals, they run towards the cities, you see. Even they come, Baba saw those, and many sisters saw that in Vijayan, those coming to the cities, you see. Like when floods come, snakes floating on the surface of the water, you see, in the floods, and those scorpions and other things. People are there, they are afraid. They can't be in the water because scorpion and snake is there. If they go down, they sink. If they sit on the tree, someone else is coming, you see. They are afraid at that time. But if we have that soul consciousness and remember Baba, completely everything will be fine, you see. That is what we have to prepare for. Therefore Baba says, children, be angels, be angels, be angels. If from now onwards we begin to try to be angels, then practically we will be angels. People will see us as angels. That is going to help us. So fear, anxiety, and then remembrance of relatives. When so many people are being killed, someone's son has gone to the office, he has not come back, and the rats have started. So where he would be now? The children had gone to the school, and in the meantime the riots started. So what happened to those children? You see, there is flood water, it has come to the city. So now where are those things, those relatives, dear and near ones? You may think of them at that time. They come to your mind. Even if they don't come to your mind, in ordinary circumstances, at that time they make you feel worried about them. If you just think, Baba is our savior, he will guide us. Baba is the greatest protector. I leave it to Baba. I surrendered myself to Baba. We are all children of Baba. Each according to his karma will get. So Baba will take care of it. Then our mind will be free. Otherwise again we will be body conscious. And those relations will be very much in our mind. Then from now itself you must make an effort not to become dependent upon certain things. If I don't take the morning tea, I can't answer my call of nature, you see. Tea is something very essential for my life, for my health, for my daily ablutions, you see. I require them. Without that, I get constipated or something wrong happens to me. So, at that time, there will be neither tea, nor coffee, nor milk, nor sugar, perhaps not even water, or no fire. What are you going to do? Take a glass of water, you see. Or just breathe in deep, and you get it. Okay, fine, thank you. What makes you laugh? It is a serious thing I am talking about. That means you are not understanding what if you laugh at such a serious thing, I really can't understand. I think I should end the class. Okay. So I also now say it is the final moment of the class. Okay. Then there will be repentance and remorse. Because we have done many wrong things in our life. Violated Srimat. Worked against it. Done certain evil acts. Our life has not been pure, up to the mark, you see. Our behavior with others has not been upright, proper. Certain things which we have been doing, and we have got the twitches of it in our conscience. Our mind has been telling us, knocking again and again, Mr. or Miss or Mrs. whatever, what you are doing is wrong, you see. But we have not been listening. Nowadays they say of listening, the power of listening. But they don't include in it the power of listening to the inner voice. When they just give the SML course or other self-respect and other courses, you know, positive thinking, one of the points generally our sisters and brothers dwell on is listening, listen to others, you see. But nobody talks of listening to our own inner voice, the voice of our conscience, you see. We have not been doing it often, doing certain things which we should not have done. Now that will be remembered at that moment. It will come up very much. Baba has been warning me again and again, but I have not been doing it. How bad of me. You know, people have written books like Life After Life and so on. Raymond Moody and others. They have given therein, when a person is finally dying, then gets a vision. He sees like a cinema film. Even if that person is outwardly in a state of coma, inwardly that person is seeing a sort of a film. And in it he sees what good things he did, what bad things he did. And he also sees an orb of light, which is just like Shiv Baba. That is what has been expressed. They asked this question from people of various religions, Hindus, Muslims, Christians and so on. Almost same was the answer given in all lands by all people, people of all religious inclination. So, at that time one feels, oh, I have been doing wrong. Baba has been warning me, asking me again and again, child, be soul conscious. My dear child, my beloved child, practice meditation. Be pure. Don't do all these things. This is the last of your life in the world cycle. Be aware of it. Get away from it. But I did not listen. I did that thing wrong, that thing bad, and so on. It will come before you. So instead of remembering Shiv Baba and other things, this will happen. If our mind is not clean, our line is not clear, as Baba says, you should have your line clear. You see, if the railway line is not clear, how can the train go? If there are stones placed on the railway line, some animal is lying on the rails, there will be accident. It can't be smooth sailing, smooth railing. So also, my mind will be up and down because of these things. Because there will be remorse, sorrowful, repentance. And I see other souls are flying, those who did practice yoga, giving the body stabilized. They have attained their final stage while I am here. You know that song which Baba used to play often. Or door jaane wale, humko bhi saath le ja. Some children crying, saying, Baba, you are going to Paramdham, leaving me here. Baba, take me also with you. That is what the song says. But how can Baba take me with him? Because I have not practiced to give up the body and go with him. On the other hand, I have been doing certain bad acts, which are like a burden on me. I can't fly. You see. I have not become an angel as Baba wanted me to. The result is that today, others have attained that flying stage, Urti Kala, as Baba says, whereas I have not been able to attain. At that time, Baba says, yes, so a person will have tears of blood. Tears of blood. There cannot be any greater sorrow than this. Because they will say, the majority of the world, they didn't know that God has come. They got the message very late. Whereas I have been in this institution. I met him face to face. I listened to his murli. I read his murli. Daily I attended the classes. I was reminded of it again and again. What a pity. I didn't do it. And Baba said, this drama will repeat. Nothing can be changed. Now it is determined, cycle after cycle, this will be your fate. Then Baba says, I will be Dharmaraj. Then my role as a teacher, as a guide, as a helper would be over. Then I will be the supreme justice. Anyone who has done something wrong, he will get the punishment at that time. Children, don't do that. I am a father. Can you see how much love I have for you? I really want to help you, to guide you, to give you my full inheritance. I love you so much. But you don't listen. You don't follow. You see, sweet child, beloved child, in so many words he says, he has been entreating us, the highest authority, you see, not reprimanding us, not scolding us, but requesting us, advising us. In very loveful terms, you can say, even begging of us. He says, children, just take care of my beard. You see, meri izzat kharab mat karo, meri daadi ki laad rakho, he says. At least you should not defame me. I have come to give you. Why don't you have it? So those who have not listened to him, these repeatedly, times out of number, Baba says at the end, they will shed tears of blood. Their mind will be shocked. Heart will break. There will be sudden death. The cruelest kind of death will be that kind of death. The saddest person on earth who has not done anything, because Baba says, there are some people, if God comes, when Brahma comes, they themselves, they don't even listen to them. Not only they not listen to Brahma Kumari, then Brahma Kumars. They have been listening to Avyakt Bhav Dada's Murlis. In his presence he has been saying, he has been giving that practice, you see, very lovingly, very endearingly. Still not doing it. What can he do? Whose fault it is? What will be the feeling in our mind at that time? At least let not that happen. So if we want to prepare ourselves for that final moment, the time is now. It's not that the final moment will come and just a few days or a few months or maybe a year or so earlier than that, when we get the final signal, the final call, then we begin to make preparations very rapidly, very quickly. You see, I am a person who can do this. You can't. Because the most difficult thing in the world, most difficult, a person can go up the Himalayas, he can go up the Mount Everest or some other mountain tops. He can be the head of the greatest armies in the world, can command lakhs of people as soldiers. In those days when there were no means of communication, like Alexander the Great and other people, you see, there can be other people who are scientists, can make big inventions, can do great things. And there are many other difficult tasks which are unsurpassable for human courage. Man cannot do. But even those can be done. The most difficult task is to change your sanskaras. Even the bravest of men, even the courageous of men, like Napoleon Bonaparte and others, could not change their minds, their sanskaras. They are said so deep-rooted, so deeply etched in our mind. To change them is a hard task. Without God's help, it can't be done. Human beings, as religious founders, as gurus, as sadhus, as jagat gurus, they have been trying best over this period of time to change the sanskaras of human beings. But they have been getting down and down. Degeneration. Now Baba says, therefore, there will be broken-hearted people. Om Shanti.